Friends, welcome to St. Stephen's United Church online worship on this first Sunday in Lent. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Friends, hear this word from the prophet Joel. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Turn back to the Lord your God, who is gracious and compassionate, long-suffering and abounding in love. Please join me in today's call to worship. Friends in Christ, Lent is a time to prepare and to renew our life. We mark this holy season by acknowledging our need for repentance and for the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel. We are invited in the name of Christ to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and penitence, by prayer and fasting, by works of love, and by reading and meditating on the Word of God. Friends, at this time we light a candle, remembering that Jesus is the light of the world. He came to seek and save the lost. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Creating God, still center of the world you have made, we come to you in this season of turning and returning. We do not know how to seek you with our whole hearts, but we know you are our source and our destiny. In the midst of life, we return to you, and we turn toward you. We thank you that you receive even the broken heart, the troubled conscience, the conflicted spirit. Amen. In this Lenten season, confession becomes so much more pointed and poignant as we journey towards the cross with Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious and merciful God, we confess to you our reluctance to enter the wilderness places where we are confronted with our true selves. The places where we are tempted to put worldly values before our desire for you. And when our hunger for power and wealth is greater than our hunger for seeking and doing your will. Forgive us, O God, and increase our trust in you. When we are tempted to use the gifts you give us to benefit ourselves at the expense of serving others. Forgive us, O God, and increase our trust in you. When we are tempted to use sensational means to increase people's faith rather than being guided by the humility of Christ, forgive us, O God, and increase our trust in you. When we are tempted to use bribery to influence and control people, forgive us, O God, and increase our trust in you. When we are tempted to manipulate you, O God, to satisfy our own needs, forgive us, O God, and increase our trust in you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, in Psalm 32 we read, "Oh, what joy for those whose sins are forgiven, whose mistakes have been wiped away by God's mercy and grace." My friends, that's us. We are the blessed recipients of God's forgiveness. And so let us rejoice in God's unfailing love, which has set us free yet again. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
We're reading here from Genesis 2, verses 15 to 17, and Genesis 3, verses 1 to 7. from the International Version Bible. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The fowl. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Well, here we are. The antependium has been changed to purple. My stole is purple. And those two things tell us that we are now in the season of Lent. This is our first Sunday. As we begin this new season of the church year, we're also starting a sermon series that I'm hoping might give each of us an opportunity to deepen our trust in God over these next 6 weeks or so and beyond. If you think about it, our faith at its heart begins as an invitation to trust God. And those kinds of invitations continue throughout our lives as opportunities to trust God more fully come along for each of us every day. Over the next few weeks, we are going to be looking at some of the ways that those invitations come to us so that we might be able to recognize them more easily and hopefully respond to them in ways that actually deepen our faith. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we're going to spend much of Lent focusing on some Old Testament readings, the ones that are prescribed by the lectionary for these weeks. Within each of those stories, we are going to be seeing people facing challenges, challenges that were actually opportunities for the people involved in them to trust God more fully. We'll be looking at stories about people who are facing the unknown, people who are living in times of uncertainty, people who are facing what can seem impossible, and people who are wrestling with the realization that God doesn't always act in the way that we expect him to. They are all stories that will come to us from the ancient world, and yet, as is so remarkable with biblical stories, we will see in each of them that even people way back then faced the same kinds of challenges in life and faith that we still face today. So through these stories of some well-known Old Testament characters, we will discover how we might respond to challenges like those that come along in our lives in ways that can actually build up our faith, rather than undermine it. Well, today's is our first of these stories, and it takes us right back to nearly the beginning, to the stories of creation and the fall. It starts as God, having placed man in the garden, charges him with working the earth and taking care of it. And as part of that charge, God grants man permission to eat from any tree in the entire garden except one. He must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because as God warns, if he does, he will die. With that simple prohibition, the scene is set for temptation in some ways. And the rest of our passage describes how the man and the woman handled that. It's the old story, we all know it, of the serpent tempting the woman by questioning what God had said and telling the woman that what God had said wasn't really true. The serpent assured them that they wouldn't actually die if they ate the fruit from that tree. He said that God wasn't actually hoping to keep them from dying, but rather was actually just trying to prevent them from becoming like God themselves. The temptation was there, and now the doubt had been sown. So as we all know, the woman succumbed. She ate the forbidden fruit, and she shared some with the man. And we are told that with that, suddenly their eyes were opened in a way that suddenly made them feel shame about their own beautiful naked bodies. Well, the serpent's motivation in all of this is pretty clear, isn't it? His intention was to disrupt the relationship God was building with the humans. And he did that by attacking the very foundation that relationship was being built on. Our relationship with God was and is meant to be built on trust. Humans were created to flourish by living in harmony with God and with each other and with creation. But that harmony can only exist if we trust God, if we trust what he says and what he does. The serpent rather masterfully eroded that trust with just those four little words. Did God really say? As a tragic consequence, that disruption that started in just the one relationship between God and humans spread far beyond that. It created havoc in all of the relationships that were meant to be at the heart of that beautiful, loving community God was creating. When the serpent undermined the human's trust in God, everything was affected. Well, this is another one of those times when the Message translation of a passage can help us. And so in the Message, we read that the serpent tells the man and the woman that God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. You'll see what's really going on. Talk about a lie dressed up as a promise. Their opportunity to thrive in a life of trusting God was lost when the woman and the man believed that there might actually be a way for them to know everything. Let's think about that. If it were possible for us to know everything, then we actually wouldn't ever need to trust God. We would know everything, so we would never be in a position of feeling vulnerable and reliant on God. When the woman and the man made that choice to eat that fruit, they were not just disregarding one instruction that God had given them. They were succumbing to the temptation to do something that seemed to ensure that they would never, ever need to trust God for anything. If they could be just like God, then they wouldn't actually even need God at all. Well, as we know, that whole thing was based on a lie and on a mistaken belief that came from that lie. The lie was that they shouldn't trust God. The mistaken belief was that life would actually be better if they didn't trust God. And the problems in both of those things were quickly revealed. We know how the story goes, and we are still living with the consequences of it. Their choice didn't end up enhancing their experience of life, quite the opposite. Instead of getting to live in the flourishing, harmonious community that they were meant for, they were alienated. Alienated from God and from each other. They were even alienated from themselves. That's what the shame that they felt is actually all about. Instead of loving ourselves, we feel badly about who we are and about how we are. Instead of loving and embracing who we are, we want to hide our true selves, hide them from each other, hide ourselves from God, and even hide it from ourselves. So you see, believing and pursuing that doozy of a lie, that God couldn't be trusted, it ended up fracturing everything. Now, I know that there are varying viewpoints on this story, on whether there actually was one literal woman and one literal man and one literal talking serpent, or whether it is simply a story that was told to illustrate some larger truths. Today, I'm not going to spend a bunch of time exploring the merits of each of those viewpoints, simply because I'm not sure that doing that would change what there is in this story for us to learn. Whether it literally happened exactly as it is told or not doesn't change the fact that it shows us some things that weren't just true for that one man and one woman, but remain very, very true for all of us today. The story shows that God invites humans to trust him. It also shows us that God doesn't force that trust. He gives us each the freedom to choose for ourselves. And that choice of whether to trust God or not is one that I truly believe we all experience every day. Life happens, and as it does, God invites us to trust him. He doesn't force us, but he does give us the chance to choose to trust in his goodness, in his promises, and in his unconditional love for us. In many ways, our lives are an ongoing series of invitations to trust God in different ways and different circumstances. So you might leave here today and something might come up or happen in which you realize that you don't actually know everything, because despite what the serpent said and continues to say, you can't know everything. I can't know everything. The time comes to all of us when we realize that. And as we do, we face the choice of whether to trust in a God who does know everything or not. My friends, that is the invitation of faith. To trust in God, that's ultimately what it's all about. It's not just about believing in God, it's about daring to trust him. And about growing in that trust as we go through life. So I'm really hoping that with the help of some wonderful people like Abraham and Moses and the people of Israel, Samuel, David, and Ezekiel. I'm hoping that we will be able to grow in our ability to recognize these invitations that come along. And even more, I'm praying that we might be able to strengthen our resolve to respond to them, deepening our trust in God every time we do. Because despite what the serpent said in the garden, and despite what still gets whispered in each of our minds, our God who invites us to trust him is utterly and entirely trustworthy. And Lent, well, Lent is the very season that takes us to the most poignant proof of that that we have. On the cross, we will see again the lengths God was and is prepared to go to show us how very worthy of our trust he is and how very determined he is to lead us to that life of harmony and flourishing that is entirely possible. It can all be ours if we will only trust and listen to God. Amen. Friends, before you leave from this message, I want to offer you an invitation for a new Lenten practice, maybe for you to try this Lent over these next 40 or so days. If you're looking for something to do and this speaks to you, you may want to try beginning each day of Lent with this simple prayer. God, as this day begins, I ask you to help me to recognize the way that you're inviting me to trust you today. So God, as this day begins, help me to recognize the ways you're asking me to trust you today. Amen.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the what he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we come before you with deep-seated awe and joy. We seek your comfort and reassurance. We nestle under your wings as we move forward with your protection, as we move through life's challenges. Help each of us to rely through prayer, trusting that you answer us even in those times when we feel ill-prepared and not good enough to do your work. Open our hearts that we all be filled with your love so that we can share it with all people, all who are as broken and flawed as we all are. May we become a gift of kindness and generosity to all we encounter, both here and in other parts of the world. Help us to be released from our doubts in our abilities to be the beacons of light that you call us to. We celebrate the generosity of everyone who gives their love and kindness, both monetarily, through prayers, and through service. We thank you deeply for sharing that love with each one of us. We pray for the people of Syria who are waiting so long for the help that has been hung up at their borders, that it be released as quickly as possible to as many people as possible in the days ahead. I bless the Syrians with provision in these days ahead, that it multiply beyond their wildest dreams. May the people of New Zealand who have lost family, homes, and infrastructure in the recent cyclone be given the blessings of provision that they need to restore their lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This year, we are going to incorporate into our worship, periodically, every couple of months or so, a little reflection on the work that is done by the people involved in the mission and service part of the United Church of Canada. That is our mission wing in our denomination. And they are engaged in work in Canada, encouraging right relations, helping to train theological students, helping with outreach work that happens across Canada. And they're also engaged around the world in ways with organizations that are bringing dignity to those who live in difficult conditions. They also are deeply involved in helping to strengthen communities of faith, often in more remote parts of Canada, where resources can be a little thin. And so the work of the Mission and Service Fund in Canada and around the world is important work that is a part of our denominational life together. So to help us to learn a little more about that, every couple of months, I'm going to share with you a story of some work that is happening through the Mission and Service Fund. And today, this story is called Meshach's Story. And it's titled, Every Child Has a Right to Learn. Where would you be if you had no education? Every child has the right to learn. Your generous support through Mission and Service means that children around the world can go to school thanks to partnerships with organizations like the Kenya Alliance for Advancement of Children. School fees, violence, child labor, and discrimination mean that too many children can't go to or stay in school. So KAARC brings together child rights organizations to share information about child protection and safeguarding, and to support children who are in school. Thanks to your support through M&S, KAARC has established over 300 child rights clubs in schools. One of these clubs helped Meshach through primary school. A bursary program helps him to pay his high school fees, and the child's rights clubs at his school is teaching him how to be a positive role model. To start going to school was a problem. KAARC helped me. These are the words of Meshach. He says they encouraged me a lot. They enabled me to start my primary school, and now I'm in high school. The club is helping us a lot, too. They give us role models to teach us what is bad and help us to be confident in whatever we're doing. I'm very happy, he says. Thank you for helping to break down barriers so that every child can go to school, regardless of who they are, where they live, or how much money they have. Friends, your support of the United Church of Canada's Mission and Service Fund helps to make work like that possible to help the lives of people like Meshach. So we thank you for your support of that. Thank you all again for the ways that you give to the life and work of St. Stephen's in our community, beyond, through our online services, and in the work of the larger world. Let's pray together now to dedicate all of the gifts given to God's mission. God of the wilderness, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts and with open hands. Amen. Friends, whatever wilderness the Spirit has brought you to, walk in boldness. As a beloved child of God, walk in peace, knowing you walk under the shelter of the Most High. Walk in faith and trust, because Christ walks with you. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. Amen.
We've buried dreams, laid them deep into the earth behind us, said our goodbyes at the grave, but everything reminds us. God knows we ache when he asks us to go on. How do we go on? We will sing to our souls.